Coming to safety stock. So SS or safety stock is a component of average inventory that takes care of short-term fluctuations in lead time and consumption. Now this is important. We considered the example that the supplier is delaying the delivery by 1 week, correct? But there is another example. Suppose my consumption, instead of 100 per week, becomes 150 per week. Then I'm going to consume in 2 weeks' time 300 pieces, which means if my reorder level was set at 200, then in 2 weeks or less than 2 weeks, I will stock out. So the safety stock takes care of both the things, any deviation in lead time and also deviation in consumption. So if my consumption suddenly goes up, it will take care of that and it will ensure that I do not stock out. So it is also called as buffer stock. That is, safety stock is also sometimes called as a buffer stock. Some of the factors affecting the level of safety stock are the value of an item. So what it means is, higher the value, lesser is the safety stock. Lower the value, which means that you are not investing very high in your inventory in terms of the working capital, so you can keep a slightly higher safety stock. Criticality of an item. So if an item is very critical, that means without that item, your operations can come to a halt. So there the safety stocks will be higher. Lead time. You have a product which has a long lead time, let's say 2 months, then the safety stock will be high. Because anyways, safety stock, as we saw, is any deviation in the lead time. Now 2 months, even if it gets extended by 15 days, that is going to make a significant change. So for higher lead time, your safety stock also will be higher. Number of suppliers. Now here it is inverse. If you have a single supplier, then you will like to keep higher safety stock. But if you have large number of supplier, then you will like to keep your safety stock lower, because if one supplier fails to supply, you can always call for the supply from another supplier. So you have somebody to fall back on. So safety stock also depends on the number of suppliers. Availability of substitute. So if it's a very unique item, which is custom manufactured for you only, then you will be keeping higher safety stock. But it's an item which is easily available in the market. Like for example, let's say it's a standard bolt, which is easily available, from multiple manufacturers, then you may not keep a safety stock, or you may keep a minimum safety stock. And the risk of deterioration. So if the material is such that it can deteriorate, then you will keep very little safety stock. Because if it has got a very short shelf life, then there is chance that the material may get spoiled while you are holding it for safety. So safety stock is maintained to ensure the uninterrupted flow of production. So it's basically to ensure that you never stock out. Coming to the next concept, which is the maximum inventory. Maximum inventory under this deterministic situation is Q, and the minimum inventory level is zero. You cannot have negative inventory, correct? So the minimum inventory you can have is zero, and the maximum that you can afford to keep is Q, right? So what is the average inventory? The average inventory will be the average of maximum and the minimum. So in this case, it will be Q by 2. So let us say that your maximum level is 1000, minimum of course being zero. So your average will be 1000 divided by 2, which is 500. Coming to the next concept, economic order quantity. So economic order quantity, or EOQ as we call it, is the quantity at which the total ordering cost and the total annual inventory carrying cost are equal. I will explain what this is. Also, the total inventory cost is optimum. It is a fixed order quantity that minimizes total inventory cost. So what do you mean by the inventory carrying cost? inventory carrying cost is one, the cost of your working capital, the cost of your warehousing, the cost of insurance that you pay on the warehouse for the stocks that you are holding. So all these becomes part of your inventory carrying cost. And what about the ordering cost? So ordering cost is the cost of raising a purchase order, cost of receiving the material at the warehouse, cost of doing the inspection. And all these costs are actually analyzed on per piece basis. So you are looking at, when you say EOQ or economic order quantity, you are trying to find the quantity which will be optimum between the inventory carrying cost and the ordering cost. So let's look at, so inventory control measures. Inventory management techniques are methods used by businesses to efficiently manage and control their inventory, ensuring that they have the right amount of stock at the right time. So we saw that we don't want too much of stocks, neither do we want to have a stock out. Effective inventory management helps prevent stock outs, reduce carrying cost, and optimize the flow of goods. Easy to understand. So in the part one, we'll look at the economic order quantity, continuous review system. These are various measures we are looking at. Periodic review system and push-pull inventory management. So these are applied to order large quantities as required or to order small quantities very frequently. And part two, we are going to look at other inventory analysis techniques which will decide, you know, what kind of inventories we should be holding. So here we have the ABC analysis, the HML analysis, the VD analysis, and the SDE analysis. So let's look at each one of them. So first one is the economic ordering quantity. The EOQ guides this choice by indicating a lot size that minimizes, subject to several assumptions, the sum of ordering cost and the annual holding over some period of time, such as 1 year. So EOQ is the quantity for which the ordering cost and the annual holding cost are equal, and also the total cost is optimum. And this is a graph which shows you exactly that. So as you can see, when you increase the ordering quantity, now you can see along the x-axis, you have the quantity which is being ordered. So higher the quantity, higher is your holding cost, because your inventory will get depleted at a fixed rate. So if you hold a high inventory, you are going to be blocking your capital, and there will be a inventory carrying cost. So what we saw was the working capital cost, the warehousing cost, the insurance cost, etc. So that is going to be high, because it is going to be for every piece or number that you're going to be holding. On the y-axis is your the annual cost. So that is the ordering cost. Now you can see that if you get, let's say, 10 pieces, you still have to release a purchase order, which means that your purchase colleagues will have to raise a purchase order. There is a certain cost to it. When the material is received, then you will have to receive it in the store. Next, you will have to inspect it. After inspection, a GRN will be posted and the material will be placed in the designated place until it is ready for issue. So the cost for doing all these things is the same, whether it is 10 pieces which come in, or 100 pieces which come in, or 200 pieces which come in. So you are finding the optimum. And as you can see, the tau for curve or the graph for the holding and setup cost, it has got, it falls. So when the quantity is small, your per piece cost is very, very high, because it's a fixed cost divided over less number of pieces. But as the number of pieces grows, as it goes up, the cost per piece comes down. And there is one point when the two intersect, that is the holding cost curve and the setup or the ordering cost curve. That is the optimum level, and that is the economic order quantity. So if you order that quantity, you are finding the optimum between the ordering cost and the inventory holding cost of the material. So, and this is economic order quantity. So coming to the second technique, which is continuous review system. So a continuous review system is a method of inventory control that monitors the stock level in real time and automatically places order when inventory reaches a predetermined level. So continuous review system is also known as the reorder point system or a fixed order quantity system. So what happens here is, when you say real time, the moment you issue a material, it will sense what is the current inventory level. So imagine that you have a stock of 50 and you issue 10 pieces, so it becomes 40. Imagine that 40 was your reorder level. The moment it senses that now your stock has come to 40, it will trigger and say that now you should order, or it will release an order for a fresh supply, which will bring the inventory back to the maximum level. So this is the continuous review system. So it will constantly monitor every issue of the material, and whenever the material reaches the reorder point, it will trigger a fresh order on the supplier to replenish the orders in the system. So this is your continuous review system. So how it works? The system tracks inventory levels and makes decision about each item's inventory position after each withdrawal, which is what we explained. When inventory level falls below a reorder point, that means it falls at the reorder point or below it, then the system triggers an order for more stocks. So in the continuous review system, the buyer places the order of a fixed lot quantity when the inventory position drops to the reorder point. The inventory position, IP as they have referred here, measures the item's ability to satisfy future demand. So when the inventory position reaches a predetermined minimum level called the reorder point, a fixed quantity is ordered. So here, let us say that you have said that when 40 was my reorder point and it reaches 40, then I should order 200 pieces. So it will recommend that you should be placing order for 200 pieces immediately. Coming to the periodic review system. So in periodic review system, here you are not monitoring it in real time, but you are doing it at a fixed interval. So a periodic review system is a method for managing inventory by checking stock levels at regular intervals to determine how much to order. To implement a periodic review system, it is important to plan and execute carefully. A standard operating procedure can outline the process and include templates for conducting the evaluation. A periodic review system, also known as fixed interval reorder or periodic reorder system, involves checking inventory levels after a set time period. The next order is placed after this fixed time period. So example, I'll give it to you. Let us say that you have a review every week. Now this period can be fixed as weekly or fortnightly or monthly. So if it is weekly, every week it will look at what is the inventory level. It won't do this every day, unless it is you have set the system to review it every day. So what it does is, it reviews, and let us say that your reorder point was 40. When the review is happening, it finds that the stock level is 30. What it will do is, the system is programmed or it's configured to always maintain a stock of reorder point plus 200. Now here, because your stock level is already reached 30, it will trigger an order for 210 pieces. So 30 is what you're holding in stock, and you place 210 pieces. So again, it will try and make the stock level to 240. And this cycle will repeat every week. So every week, it will review what is the requirement or what is the actual inventory level and what should be the maximum inventory which needs to be maintained. And accordingly, it will trigger the orders. So periodic review system, how it works. So in this case, at set interval, like weekly, monthly, or quarterly, the inventory is counted and compared to a target inventory level. The difference between the two is the amount that needs to be ordered to replenish the inventory. So in our example, we saw that the target level was 240. So if you found during the review that your inventory is 30, it will look at the difference between 240 and 30, and 210 will be ordered. The next one, the push-pull inventory management. So in the push-pull inventory management, this is a hybrid system that combines the push and the pull strategies to balance supply and demand. So what is the push approach? The push approach uses the forecast to plan the production and inventory levels. So in the push system, it's a system which is essentially driven by a forecast. Whether you have customer orders or not, you don't wait for the customer order. If you have a forecast, you will actually produce material as per the forecast. If you have a forecast, you will procure material as per the forecast which has been given to you. So this is the push system. In the pull system, you are only getting material if there is a customer demand. So whenever there is a customer demand, you are going to replenish the thing. So let us say customer demand is for 100 pieces, then you are immediately going to order raw material, etc., for 100 pieces. So let's look at what the system says. So push approach uses forecast to plan production and inventory levels, anticipating customer needs. So this strategy is good for companies with high inventory volumes, longer supply lead times, because see, where you have very long lead time, you cannot suddenly increase your procurement at short notice. So here you have to essentially go with the push system. That is, you have to simply go with the forecast. There is a certain amount of risk you run. But on the other hand, you are going to prevent stock out by following this system. So supplier lead times, longer supplier lead times, or predictable demand. In the pull approach, response directly to customer demand, triggering production or replenishment only when needed. What you mean by when needed is when the customer places an order. That means you have a confirmed order. That is when your demand is triggered. So this strategy is good for items with uncertain demand. That means you are not certain whether the product will sell or not, or the products are meant only for a single customer or so. So these are for highly customizable products. Again, we mean, the demand may be few, or very few customers are there for that product. Push inventory management. So a push inventory management system, also known as an inventory control system, refers to a strategy for overseeing inventory where products are produced or manufactured in anticipation of consumer demand. We saw this, that here you are simply going as per the forecast. You don't wait for actual orders to come in. It's only against forecast you will produce, and you will keep it in the inventory. In this system, goods are created in advance and subsequently pushed through the supply chain to various distribution points and retailers, typically in quantities that exceed immediate demand. The volume of inventory dispatched to retailers is determined by forecast of future demand. So many a times, the forecast which your retailers or your distributors have given, you are producing based on that, and you are also supplying the material to them based on the forecast that they have given you. The pull inventory management. So a pull inventory management system is driven by market demand to establish appropriate inventory levels. Products are replenished based on actual consumption patterns. So, you know, you may have a system where actual number of products which are sold, you only produce those many products and put it back in the stock. So products are replenished based on actual consumption patterns. It could be consumption or sale. When inventory diminishes due to an increase in customer orders, a pull inventory system effectively restores the stock levels through a responsive supply chain that operates on a pull basis. So this is a pull basis, which is driven by the customer demand and not based on the forecast. The concept of a pull system is derived from the notion that restocking occurs as a result of inventory depletion or customer requests, effectively pulling product through the supply chain. So here the customer demand is actually pulling the supply chain. That means the purchase or the production is actually driven by customer demand. Coming to part two, what are the other inventory analysis techniques? So we say ABC analysis, and acronym for this is always better control, but actually this is not the real case. So in ABC analysis, the A stands for all the materials which contribute to 80% of the total value. So even if you're looking at the value of inventory, or it could be the consumption value. So all those materials which account for 80% of the consumption value, they fall under the A category. The next 15% are classified as B, and the next C, the next category of C, they actually account for 5% of the consumption value. They follow the Pareto principle. So where Pareto says that 70% of 15% of the item actually account for 70% of the value, and 70% of the items account for 15% of the value. So in the first case, only 15% of your products or raw material, etc., are actually accounting for 70% of your total inventory value. So what you do is you have a very stringent control for the A items because they are all high value. And for the C items, you can have slightly lenient view because the cost implication are not very high. So analysis is done, one of the most popular analytic method. By using this method, brands classify their inventory based on their consumption value and overall inventory cost. Inventory classified as A is the most valuable and contributes to your profits the most. These items are usually the most expensive. Inventory classified as B falls in the middle, between the most valuable and the least valuable. These items sell regularly but are not as popular as A items. And the third category is the inventory classified as C, is the rest of your inventory. These items do not sell as often and make up most of your inventory cost. Not necessary, because we use this analysis slightly differently, because you exercise maximum control on the A items since they are contributing to a major cost as far as organization is concerned. Coming to the next technique, HML analysis. So this analysis classifies the inventory based on their cost, high, medium, and low. HML, high, medium, low. That's how it comes to. So this methodology sorts your inventory into three groups. Inventory with a high price per unit. So here, now you're not looking at the consumption value, but you're looking at the price per unit. So all the units which are having high price per unit, they are classified as H, and these usually make up 10 or 15% of the total inventory. Inventory with a medium price unit, so these account for 20 to 25% of the total inventory. And the last category, the low value, they account for 60 to 70% of your total inventory. So again, your strategy is based on the unit price of the items which are being stocked. And again, you will try to economize here on the low value items because they are occupying a large chunk of your inventory. Coming to the next analysis, which is the VED. So here it is vital, essential, and desirable. So VED analysis is the method that breaks inventory into three categories based on the user's experience and perception. Vital, essential, or desirable. Vital inventory is made up of products that need to be constantly in stock for your business to do well. Vital is vital to the continuity of the business. If they stock out, it will affect your operations. Essential inventory, they are a group of products that are important to have in stock. That means they can be a showstopper, but they are not that important. And they are required to be maintained in minimal quantities. And desirable inventory, they are a group of products that are optimal for your business. That means they are desirable, but they are not a showstopper. So your business can function with or without these items. So you can minimize the desirable inventory in these cases. The next one is SDE analysis. SDE analysis is based on inventory availability, and therefore lead time inventory is split into three categories: scarce, difficult, or easily available. So let's look at each of them. Scarce inventory is imported and requires longer lead time. So these are materials which have very long lead times, let's say 2 months, 3 months, etc. And you cannot get them at short notice. Maybe it's possible to get it at short notice at a huge cost, like if you have to air freight them or so. So it's makes sense to hold these products in the inventory, because if you don't have these products, you cannot supply the material to the customer. So items that are difficult to find or produce and are often imported. Difficult inventory is more challenging to secure, requiring a lead time of over 14 days but less than 6 months. Items that are not as scarce but are difficult to acquire or produce. So this is the second category, not as difficult as the scarce, but at the same time, they are not easily available. So here you will have to keep some inventories. And the third category is the easily available inventory. So this is accessible, readily available, items that are readily available and do not require much effort to acquire. So they are available locally. They have very short lead times. So these you can do with very little inventory. So various techniques you can use to decide on the inventory level, where you need to keep high inventory and where you need to keep low inventories. Coming to the safety stock analysis. Safety stock analysis is a way to calculate how much additional inventory you should have in stock to prevent stock out. We already saw this at the beginning of the chapter. So this form of analysis helps you mitigate risk and gives you a cushion for fluctuating demand or supply chain disruption. So we saw that your fluctuation can be in lead time, or it can be also in your consumption. So let us say that the product requires 2 months to replenish, and suddenly there is a high demand for your product. You know that you cannot replenish the product immediately. So in such cases, you need to have a safety stock, depending upon what is the kind of fluctuation that you can live with. Safety stock analysis is the process of determining the right amount of extra inventory to keep on hand to avoid stock out and over-promising to the customers. Safety stock is a best practice for inventory management and can help improve product availability and customer satisfaction. And this is most important, because we already said this, that if there is a stock out, it's an opportunity lost. It's a business lost. Because the customer will maybe go to the competition, and if he's satisfied with the competition product, maybe he may not come back. So it is a business loss or an opportunity loss. Also, it will result in customer dissatisfaction. Let us say that the customer is not having the option of going to the competition. Then his production is going to suffer if we are not able to supply the material. So this is where the customer satisfaction comes into play. To analyze safety stock, you can consider the following. What is the cost of holding the excess stock? How much it costs to hold that extra inventory? What is the risk of running out of the stock? So how likely it is to run out of stock and the impact of doing so? So if you run out of stock, what are the consequences? What is the impact on your business? What is the impact on your customer satisfaction? Third, demand fluctuations. How demand for the product is likely to change? I mean, is the demand very volatile? Does the demand fluctuate a lot? If the demand is relatively stable, then maybe the safety stock will only take care of the variation in the lead time. If demand fluctuates quite a bit and it has got, you know, very severe consequences, then you may decide to keep a higher safety stock. Lead time, how long does it take for a vendor to deliver the stock? So longer the lead time, higher will be the safety stock. But if you are able to get the stocks within, let's say, 2 days or 3 days, then you don't need to keep safety stock, or don't need to keep much of a safety stock. So what are the key factors to consider when undertaking strategic sourcing and procurement in a rural area or a rural environment? So local supplier engagement, supplier diversity and capacity building. So what is your engagement with the local supplier? Do you have a local supplier base? And if you have none, then you should have a supplier diversity where you have local suppliers who can supply to you at short lead time. Also capacity building. Do they have adequate capacity? Can you help them build the capacities which meet your requirement? Infrastructure and logistics. Now we know that these are the challenges as far as rural areas are concerned. So these you need to be considered when we are considering the rural logistics, transportation and infrastructure gaps. The other factors you need to take into consideration: technology adoption, digital solutions, e-procurement. So in strategic sourcing, you may have some limitations even in technology adoption, because in the rural area, the people may not be using ERP systems or advanced computing system. And it may be difficult to integrate with your ERP solution or provide endless end-to-end communication to them. So these are some of the factors which need to be considered. Cost considerations, pricing and competition, and economies of scale. So we saw in previous chapter also that economy of scale is important. So if the rural supplier doesn't have the economy of scale, then obviously this is going to reflect on the pricing. So this also needs to be considered when you're looking at a rural option. Sustainability and local development. So what is the environmental impact? What is the community impact, in selecting a rural supplier? Risk management, supply chain disruptions, and cultural sensitivity. Because rural areas, rural suppliers will have limitations in terms of the disruptions. They are more susceptible, even cultural sensitivity, etc., local festivals, etc. This can cause disruptions in your own operations. So let's look at the key factors to consider when undertaking strategic sourcing and procurement in rural areas. So the first being government and policy support. So what are the government initiatives, which promote the sourcing and procurement from rural areas, including the regulatory framework, which can include certain benefits which accrue for sourcing from rural areas. Supplier relationship management, enduring collaborations and payment arrangement when dealing with a rural supplier. innovation and products sourcing. So local products and services, utilizing the local expertise. And I think a lot of organizations are working in this area. We will look at some of the examples as we go forward.